would like to pick up on the second part of this lesson. Last week we started the lesson, and we are hoping to continue on that lesson today. Get it? That is, get the authority, get the authorization from the right place, the right person, and do it by that proper authority. The right place, the right person is not the preacher. The right person is Jesus Christ. Make sure that whatever you're doing in the spiritual realm, you do it by the authority of Jesus Christ. Pleasing God was not left up to our guessing. Never was. To our feelings, to our intelligence or smartness, or our intellectual ability, or our likes or dislikes, it was never left up to those areas of our lives. In fact, it was our perceived smartness, our intellectual ability, what we like, what we want, that brought sin into the world. So pleasing God, in fact, when the Almighty God dealt with the first two children ever born to a man and a woman, those first two were Cain and Abel. When they set out to honor God, to worship God, the Almighty God instructed them how to do it. That is what we mean by God's authority. When we ended last week, we ended on the Red Sea. That in crossing the Red Sea, the Israelite being led by Moses and the Egyptian being directed by Pharaoh entered the same Red Sea. The Red Sea became destruction, catastrophe for the Egyptian and for Pharaoh. But it became a passage safe, sound, secure for Moses and the Israelites. What made the difference? Because the Israelites went in by God's authority through Moses. The Egyptian went in by Pharaoh's authority. And that made all the difference. We pick up today on two great Old Testament characters again. And that is Moses and David. They hardly get greater than those two men. What is striking is that these two men will engage in the very same act. Did I hear you right, Brother Mitchell? Yes. Moses did something. David is going to do the very same thing. And for David, it became such a great sin that the Almighty God killed some 70,000 people because of that. There is nowhere else in the Old Testament where on any one occasion God killed so many people. 70,000 are about. For David, two God-appointed leaders doing the very same thing. I said the very same thing. Numbers chapter 1, verse 1 through 3, and 1 Samuel. In fact, I want it from 1 Chronicles 21, verse 21. Let us hear Numbers 1 through 3 first.
And the Lord spake unto Moses in the in the wilderness of Sinai.
In the wilderness of Mount Sinai.
In the tabernacle of the congregation.
In the tabernacle of the congregation.
On the first day of the second month, in the second year after they were come out of the land of
Egypt. The first year of the second month.
In the second year.
The second year.
After they were come out of the
land. After they left Egypt.
Saying. Take ye the sum of all the congregation of the children of Israel.
The people take the sum. Take a census. Number the people. That's how comes the book of Numbers got its name. Number the people. Did we get it? I repeat, that's how comes Numbers. Because the book of Numbers is about numbering the children of Israel. Read, brother. That's verse what?
We're at verse 2.
Read.
Take ye the sum of all the congregation of the children of Israel after their families by the house of their fathers with the numbers of their names every male by their posts. That's the end of 2.
Let me have 3 now.
From 20 years old.
That's what I wanted. From age 20, read a little further.
From 20 years old and upward. All that are able to go forth to war in Israel. Thou and Aaron shall number them by their armies.
That's right. So we get here now. This is a command from God. You want to call it a commission? Yes. It's a command from God. Get this done. Get what done. Count the people. Number the people. Take a census. If we had time to go through the book of Numbers, it's interesting. Moses numbered the people. At the end of the day, because Moses did what God commanded him to do. It was a blessing for Moses. Notice now David going to do the same thing. Very same thing. Let us hear from the book of 1 Chronicles. Chapter 21. And it is the same verse 1 through verse 3. Let us hear it.
And Satan stood up against Israel.
And Satan did what?
Stood up against Israel.
Brother Webb, somebody said that's the wrong passage because Brother Mitchell says it's about David. Well, let us hear a little more now.
And provoked David.
And provoked. So we are about David. Provoked David to do what?
To number Israel.
To count Israel. Well, what's wrong with that? How come Satan is in the picture now? The Almighty God just now was about 1000 BC. Yes, the Almighty God just about 400 years before had commanded Moses to do the same thing. Moses, that's right. It's about 1000 BC. This was now David. What David did, brother?
And provoked David to number Israel.
We are told that it was Satan who provoked him to number Israel. Well, what is the difference? He's just counting some people. What could be wrong with that? Because a few years ago, 400 years ago, God commanded Moses to do the same thing. Read, right.
And David said to Joab.
And David said to his Joab.
And to the rulers of the people.
And to the rulers of the Israelite nation.
Go.
Go.
Number Israel.
Number. It's almost using the same word that the Almighty God used. Number Israel. Take a census. Read.
From Beersheba.
From Beersheba.
Even to Dan. And bring the number of them to me.
And bring me the number.
That I may know it.
That I may know how many people there are. But wait. Here is the catch. Here is a little catch. What verse are you, brother, with?
That's end of 2.
Yes, here is the catch. Are we all there? David really wanted to know how strong his army was. And that was a problem with God. You see, David wanted to know how strong his army was. Verse 3.
And Joab answered.
And Joab answered.
The Lord made his people.
The Lord made his people.
And 100 times.
100 times.
So many more as they be. But my Lord the king. Are they not all my Lord's servants?
Are they not all the Israelites? God has made you their leader. They are your servants in a sense.
Why then?
That's I like that, brother. You see, there is a why. There is a why. Why then? Look here now. This why is important. Because it is hinting at motive. Should I spend the rest of the sermon period just talking about motive? Because that is important. That whatever we do for God are in the eyes of our brothers and sisters, we must make sure that it is pure. Here again, another word, pure. I want to take you to another lesson. When the Bible talks about pure, it covers a whole heap of area. Why do you want to count the people, David? That is important. Well, why was not all this first came when 400 years ago or so God commanded Moses to do the very same thing? Verse 3.
Why then does my Lord require this thing? Why will he be a curse of trespass to Israel?
Somebody didn't hear that.
Why will he be a cause of trespass to Israel?
Why would you, David, but the man, Joab, is speaking to his boss? David was the king appointed by God. He commanded his warlord to count the people. What right has Joab asking David and talking about David might become a what to the people?
Why will he be a cause of trespass to Israel?
Trespass? Are you out of your place, Joab? I, the king, have trespassed? And you know what I find interesting here? When the Almighty God commanded Moses to do this, we didn't have all this big fuss. Aaron did not ask Moses all those questions. But Mr. Mitchell, the same thing. But I'm not sure it is a sin, Mr. Mitchell. Well, the question is what our Lord has just asked implies that. But listen now, verse 7.
And God was displeased with this thing.
Your God, oh, the Bible, with this thing.
Therefore,
the thing numbering Israel. Oh, God, how can you be displeased with this thing when it's the same this thing you commanded 300 years ago? You know, this is a lesson for us, you know.
Yeah.
You know what I find in the denominational world? Everything they see the apostle did, modern day preacher, they think that they have the right and the authority to do. Modern day preacher reading the Bible where the apostle lay hand and impart spiritual gift. Modern day preacher who don't understand God's word think that they can lay hand on people and pass on this. That's not their prerogative. That's not. That's why when Simon the other man wanted to buy the Holy Spirit, you know what Peter said? Remember, you know, Simon had been baptized. And Peter said to him, you do not have a lot of part in this matter. Imagine the preacher don't realize that there were ability given to the apostle that were totally the apostle's prerogative because of the job the apostles of Christ had. They had the job of writing the Bible, the New Testament rather. Are we all there? They needed to recall from their memory things that Jesus Christ had taught them for the 3 years they were with Christ. Their pure biological memory would not be able to retain all of those things. So they were given extra ability of the Holy Spirit. That we are given, true Christians today are given the Holy Spirit. But not in the same measure. The Bible tells us in the book of John that the Holy Spirit is given by measure. That means everybody don't get the Holy Spirit the same way. The man-made churches out there, they don't even, as plain as that is, they don't make the difference. And thousands of sincere men and women are wrongly led. Well, it's just like the two counting. But we can't see how God killed David for the same thing that he commanded Moses to do. Because the Almighty God did not command David to do that. David took it up on himself and for the wrong reason. Are we all there? For the wrong reason. Wait. You or I do anything in the sight of God for the wrong reason. You want to get baptized this morning? Thank God. We are here to help you. Jesus Christ wants you to become a Christian. But as noble as that is, make sure it is for the right reason. Are we all there? Make sure it is for the right reason. So verse 7 again, brother.
And God was displeased with this thing.
Uh-huh.
Therefore, he smote Israel.
God smote Israel. Why didn't he smote David? Brothers and sisters. Oh, Lord, have mercy. You know, God knows where it hurts. And God knows how to hurt us. We must learn that we cannot, when God is out to get us, there is no way you can escape from God. God smote Israel. I told you about my brother and my mother already, but I want to hear it again. You know how my mother sent my brother. He was just here about 3 weeks ago. Expert and jerk. Believe me, he does it so good. My brother in Mandeville got down there one time and he gave him a little jerk chicken and a little jerk pork, and my brother eat the jerk chicken and was going back to Mandeville and reach about 4 hours and the chicken done his driving. And then he started tasting the jerk pork and immediately turned back to Scott Pass. He wanted to go back and buy some more of the jerk pork. But this time my mother sent him out. And he went out and spent all the time around. And when he came back home, he knows my mother. Or at least knew my mother, that when you do things like that, my mother got to let you remember you mustn't do it again. He discovered that my mother didn't make a big fuss. And he was surprised. You see, I'm on the point that God knows how to hurt us. Never try to plan to outsmart God. Yield to God. So my brother, you know, evening come, he went to bed and was thinking that my mother probably changed. My mother didn't change, because by that time my brother was 13, 14 and strong, and my mother no one to acclare herself. So my mother waited until he was sleeping. And my mother, that's what surprised Trevor, my brother. He's wondering to this day that he didn't know that our mother know that he sleeps on. And while he was sleeping, my mother went and tied him and give him a chastisement right there in the bed. Why she crying is that she knew that he would run out in a night there. She knew her children. Well, let me tell you, God knows his children. That's right. He knows how to hurt us. And I'm begging you, never plan that, you know, if God going to do this to me, let me put up some protection against it. We cannot put up any protection against God. Where are we? We are in the book of First Chronicles. What chapter? 10-1. And the brother was at about verse 7. Or somewhere there. Watch here now. God smote Israel. Are we there? Why not smote David? Brothers and sisters, there is no greater way in hurting David. See? Not killing off the Israelites. David was not just a leader for ego purpose. He really loved the Israelites. He didn't want anything happen to them. In fact, if we have time to look, he's going to ask God why God would take it out on him. But God was taking it out on him. Anything else in verse 7? That's where we'll stop there, brother, because we have some other things to cover. So God killed, that's the time that the Almighty God killed 70,000. If you have time to read further, because of the why, the motive was wrong. That was the time when David looked and the angel had his sword over the whole nation of Israelites. And the Almighty God said to the angel, don't kill anymore. That was the time the Almighty God sent David up to offer the sacrifice. And out of that incident came one of the greatest pieces of inspired word. I will not offer unto the Lord, help me here now, an offering of that which cost me nothing. Wait. We must not try to give God cheap religion. Your relationship to God, let it cost you time, strength, energy. You tell anybody, if I die preaching God's word, I would feel honored. I feel that preaching demands our best. Don't give God the riffraff, the leftover. Many of us, we come worship only when we have nothing better to do. Only when no family from the country visit. From time to time, I said, my God, if you have a visit at the time you are getting ready for church, why don't tell them to come with you? Or let them stay home until you come. Don't give God cheap religion. He don't want it. So when David, as a result of this thing, went up to sacrifice because he was directed by God, and the sacrifice and the altar and the place was given to him free of cost, he said, no, I will pay thee a price, because I'm not going to give God anything that doesn't cost me. Shouldn't we learn from that? We should learn from that, huh? Yes. Brother Mitchell, but up there now, you know, tell us, what is the difference between Moses and David? The difference is this: by Moses was done by God's authority. This by David was done by David's authority. Man's authority. And it became a sin. The motive for David taking the census was wrong. And the authority that gave that command was wrong. When you do whatever you do religiously, spiritually, morally, by the wrong authority or by the wrong word, it becomes a sin. Lord of mercy, could we look on another case? May I be honest with you? I'm dying to reach a few examples in the New Testament. That there's so much to learn from them on the business of serving God, pleasing God, honoring God was never left up to our feelings, our smartness, our ingenuity, our intelligence, our life and dislike. It was never left up to that. God is the only one who can reveal to us how to serve Him acceptably. That's why the question that was asked in the passage that was read this morning, the religious leader asking Jesus Christ, by what authority did you do that? Both they and Jesus Christ were acknowledging that operating in any religious atmosphere You need to operate by authority. But we will get to these passages in the New Testament, very enlightening as these are. Once we listen and think through what we are studying, another case is found in the book of Numbers again. May I? Number 16. And this is from verse 8 to verse 11. And this is about a man who wanted the priesthood. A man who wanted the priesthood. Let us hear the passage.
And Moses said unto Korah, Hear, I pray you, ye sons of Levi, seemeth it but a small thing unto you that the God of Israel hath separated you from the congregation of Israel?
This man was an Israelite. This man was a Levite, the priesthood tribe. Remember what we are looking at? Get it and do it by the right authority. That is, get the authorization by the proper authority and thereby operate on that authority. It has always been like that. We have overlooked that today. We feel that anything you want to do in God's sight, once it is sincere, that's, we operate on this business that if the thing is sincere, it is acceptable. I have news for you. Cain was sincere when he offered his worship and God rejected it. I have news for you. Nay, the man by you that God burnt up in Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1 through verse 3, they were sincere when they offered what they offered. Uzziah, who put forth to stabilize the ark, was sincere. The Almighty God killed the man instantly. Sincerity is good, but it is not enough. Where are we? We are with Korah in the book of Numbers 16. That's where we are.
That's right.
Read.
To bring you near to himself, to do the service of the tabernacle of
the Lord. Wait. Moses. Wait. Breathe back. Don't get it now. The Almighty God had given men like Korah a specific duty. They, while they were Levites, they were not priests. They were not priests. They were Levites. They were not selected as priests. God gave them a function. My God, feel honored now? But no, they want what they want. Read, brother.
To bring you near to himself to do service, to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord, and to stand before the congregation, and to minister unto them.
Wait, Moses is listing their duty. And was in effect saying to Korah and those who took side with him, God placed you there, serve with hananah and willingness and contentment. Read.
And he that brought thee near to him, and all thy brethren, the sons of Levi.
I like this.
Thee.
You know, in these passages, you notice he that brought you near to him. May I, brothers and sisters, when you serve God in the capacity that God places us. We are brought near to God. May I, those in the church, those who are part of whatever you do in the church, and you are sincere, it brings us close to God. Amen. Are we there? Whatever. And there are members that sometimes I wish I could list. Just call out the name of some of our brothers and sisters who over the years shown faithfulness, and a lot of times we don't, some of us are not much aware of their contribution to the cause of Christ. Because a brother or a sister is not on the pulpit preaching or teaching doesn't mean they are not accomplishing much for Christ. Are we there? And whatever we do in sincerity to honor God, to enhance the growth of the body of Christ, God bless us, brings us close to God. Oh Lord, if I know I was going to say this, there's a package I have to share with the men's class. A brother at one of our congregation abroad, that on his own, when he went to be a part of this congregation, he was an elder for years at another congregation. And the leaders at this particular congregation knew that he was a faithful elder. And they wanted him to become an elder here now too. But he said no. He had served as elder for many years. He just wanted to serve. And every Sunday, that congregation, 500-600 members, every Sunday, he's the brother who have people scattered over the congregation to let him know who and who is absent. And when church over, he would turn it over to the elders and Brother Dallas Walker so that they can, during the week, get members to check on these members that they didn't see injured. And I have a package from the other months now. I want to just show how members can make themselves active and productive in the growth and enhancement of the work of the church behind the scenes. Moses is saying to Korah, the duty God gives you, that brings you close to God. Read, brother, read.
And see he the priesthood also.
Wait. You not satisfied? Before you feel honored? Wait, Lord, so much to say on this. That's why we must not banter against one another. Huh? Oh. Be supportive of one another. In men's class, we are to work together as brothers. Huh? Huh? Don't look ways to tear each other down. In ladies' class. Is the mic working? You sure? In the ladies' class, you seek to work with one another, complement one another. You know why? You're working for one master. And when you make that other sister shine bright, you are shining bright. Huh? You need in your private prayer to pray for the sister or sisters who take the responsibility to leave. Just like in your private prayer, you need to pray for the brothers, all of us who try to guide the congregation. Are we all there? Because we are working for one master. Korah saw people like Moses and Aaron at the forefront, and he became jealous. That is not necessary in God's business. Moses had to ask Korah, God give you this, give you this, give you that. And you are not satisfied. You want the priesthood also? What verse are you?
That's the end of 10.
End of 10. I want a few more verses from that. Read 11, brother.
For which cause?
For which cause?
Both thou and all thy company are gathered together against the Lord.
Wait. You must miss this, you know. Please, because Korah thought they had called or formed a grievance committee against Moses and Aaron. Are we all there? That's what Korah and his grievance committee thought. That it was against Moses and Aaron. But it was against the Almighty God. Are we all there? That's verse 11.
And what is Aaron that he murmur against him?
What is Aaron? You see, Aaron was the head of the priests. Who is Aaron that you murmur and gather against him? Step down to verse 20 through 28. Quick, brother.
And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying,
Watch here, you need to get this.
Separate yourselves from among this congregation.
Wait. God is about to take action. Don't go a fidden church. That's what he just said. Separate yourself
from this congregation.
That is those who took side with Korah, his grievance committee. Quite a few hundreds of them formed their own church. One church is not as good as another. God told Moses to tell the Israelites, separate yourself from Korah. But Brother Mitchell, aren't all of them Israelites? Yes, but these are trespassed against God. Read now, brother, where you stop for.
That I may consume them in a moment.
You hear why God does want the congregation mixed. In fact, there was a little problem here. When Korah and his grievance committee was formed, other Israelites who didn't know better took side with them. The Almighty God now told Moses, speak to the Israelites, that those who are taking side with Korah, that if they want to live, separate themselves. Read.
And they fell upon their faces and said, O God,
That is Moses. And others who fell upon their faces. Wait. Moses was a great leader because Moses loved the Israelites. And listen how Moses is going to reason with God. Read.
And said, O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin, and will thou be wroth with all the congregation?
Isn't this wonderful? You know, a leader in God's business is never interested in his own welfare. You can't. In fact, any of us, you cannot be sad. If you're a child of God who are content with just the fact that I'm going to make sure I save myself, what about the salvation of others? What step are you taking to help save them? If you are a true child of God, you can never be content with only your salvation. Moses prayed to God. Korah was the ringleader. God, you're going to kill all these Israelites with him? Read, brother.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the congregation, saying, get you up from about the tabernacle of Korah.
Wait, God. get away from Korah Church. Tabernacle. You see, Korah had already pitched a tent and have quite a few hundred people there. The Almighty God is telling the Israelites through Moses, get away from your church. Haven't the New Testament tell us, come out from them and be separated? Huh? Read a little more, brother. Time is going.
Tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram.
Abiram.
And Moses rose up and went unto Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of the of Israel.
What verse is that?
25.
Read.
And he spoke unto the congregation, saying, Depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men.
Wait. From the church of these wicked men. That's it's equal to. Read that little part again.
Depart, I pray you.
Come away from the gathering, the congregation, the meeting place of these wicked men. But many of them, they would say, all of us ICM Israelites, like people today say, we are all using the same Bible and we are worshiping the same God. If you ever want to know that there's so much more than using the same Bible, etc., give me a chance to talk with you, please. Truly, if you are a visitor and honestly want to understand the difference between the Church of Christ and man-made churches, that there is a vast difference, please let us know. Just phone. If you can't talk to me after church, just phone and let us meet at your house, here at the church premises, at wherever. Let us sit and talk. Many Israelite looking would say, there's no difference. Korah and the people that met with him are Israelite. Moses and the people that met with him are Israelite. But you know what, brothers and sisters? Korah and his grievance committee were operating under the authority of men. Moses was operating under the authority of God. He's going to
incarcerate and touch nothing of theirs, lest he be consumed in all their sins. So they got up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, and on every side. And Dathan and Abiram came out and stood in the door of their
tent. What verse is that?
I'm at 27.
Read.
And their wives and their sons and their little children. And Moses said, hereby ye shall know that the Lord hath sent me.
Listen this. This is hitting at authority. Hereby, he's saying to all the Israelites, it is here, it is now. You are going to know that I operate on God's word by God's authority. Read the brother with.
Hereby ye shall know that the Lord hath sent me to do all these works.
You all hear that? What he's saying is that I'm not operating on my own. When we get to the New Testament, I'm going to show you the many cases in the Bible, Acts, where it talks about how the apostle did that in the name of the Lord, in the name of Jesus, and all of that. All of those are hitting at authority. But we don't get there yet. We don't get there yet. Probably next week. I didn't intend for this lesson to be more than a two-part lesson. But let's not rush it if we are learning.
For I have not done them of mine own mind.
I like that, Brother Webb. Brother Webb, that is saying, I didn't do them simply by what I think. I have not operated. You see, that's authority. It makes all the difference whether we are operating by God's authority or by our own authority or feeling what we like. What verse is that?
At the end of 28.
Brothers and sisters, What is under consideration here is man's authority and God's authority. Look at verse 22 quickly, brother.
And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. And they fell upon their faces and said,
verse 32 through 35, quick.
And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up.
By the way, I didn't know the earth has mouth. The earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up. Read.
And their houses. And all the men that appertained unto Korah.
All those who took side with Korah.
And all their goods.
All their goods.
They and all that appertained to them.
Everything that pertained, connected to them.
Went down alive into the pits.
Are we all there? May I? Is where a man, Korah, want the priesthood and want to exercise his own authority to assume the position of the priesthood? The Almighty God took drastic action against the man and his whole family. Read a little further.
And the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation.
You all hear that? What verse is that?
In the 33.
Go on.
And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them.
That is when the earth opened and took them in. The Israelites run, I would run too, and cry when they saw the catastrophe. Read, brother.
For they said, lest the earth swallow us up also.
I would think like that to Brother Webb. If you see the earth that swallow up some people around you, you'd think it's you next. But you see, the Almighty God don't make mistake. He knew who took side with Korah. Read, brother.
And there came out a fire from the Lord.
It's not only the earth open. There's fire also. Read.
And consumed the 250 men.
This is different, you know, from those whom the earth swallowed. You talk about God. I always say to people, the Almighty God has a lot of options that we don't even think about. And it is for this reason we need to yield to Him and humble ourselves in His hand. You know, because if you escape the earthquake, God has many other weapons, including fire. What it says there, brother?
And there came out fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense.
Read.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, that he take up the censers out of the burning, and scatter thou the fire yonder, for they are hallowed. The censers of these sinners against their own souls, let them make them broad plates for a covering of the altar, for they offered them before the Lord. Therefore they are hallowed, and they shall be a sign unto the children of Israel.
May our brothers and sisters, time is going, run to me to a passage that help us to understand something here in this passage. To Hebrews chapter 5, verse 4 and 5. I think that because time has gone.
And no man taketh this honor unto himself.
What?
Verse 4.
No man taketh this honor unto himself. Brother Michel, what is he talking about? The priesthood. The priesthood. This passage in Hebrews chapter 5 shines light on it. That in those times you do not take the priesthood unto yourself. Read.
But he that is called of God, as was Aaron.
You all get it? You don't just tell yourself, I want to be a priest. That's what this passage is, the very thing that Korah did. He saw Aaron and Aaron's sons as priests. He want to be a priest. But God had given him another duty. Now, operate by God's authority. That is by what God says. No man taketh this honor unto himself, but
he that is called of God.
He that is called of God.
As was Aaron.
As was Aaron.
So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest.
Jesus Christ did not demand to be an high priest.
But he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee.
You get it? That even Jesus Christ had to be appointed by the Father as an high priest. And that is underlining the sin of Korah. You don't just grab onto it. Operate within the compass of God's authority. If you are going to serve God, strive not to look for what you like, what you want, how you see things. Try to see things through God's eyes. And that you find in the gospel. All these Old Testament examples were written there to teach us that we should operate under the ambit of God's authority. Next week, God's willing. There's some great things. We're going to discover next week that evil spirit knows the difference between man's authority and God's authority, even evil spirit. So we are inviting you back to be here next week, if God is willing, as we. I'm going to strive, God's willing, to complete this lesson next week. We may have one more Old Testament example, then we get in the New Testament. We will be spending some time making sure we understand Matthew 28. Matthew 28, 20 through 18 through 20, as I said, is not about name. It is about authority. And we'll look at that next week. What Paul meant when he said, lest any should say, I baptize in my own name. Did you know that that is referring to authority? Next week. Oh Lord, today you can step forward and give Jesus Christ your life. You can come with the attitude that you want to be a Christian the Bible's way. That's the right approach. That you want to become a Christian the way men and women became Christians in the time when the apostles were living on earth. They were guided by the Holy Spirit to guide the lives of men and women, wanting to become children of God, to have their sins dealt with, and to have fellowship with God. You can become a Christian like that today. Hearing God's word, believing it, making up your mind to turn from all the ungodly, sinful, worldly, selfish ways that you've been living by. That's repentance. Be willing to confess from your mouth that you believe that Jesus is the Christ. and be humble enough to submit yourself to true Bible baptism. Remember, sprinkling is not baptism. It's a man-made thing to place you in a man-made church. So is confirmation. If you want to be a true child of God, you have to be immersed. And we are here to help you today. When you come forward to become a child of God the Bible's way, you are coming forward to operate under God's authority. There is no other way to be right. We are therefore inviting you now to come and to give your life to Jesus the Christ. Right now, we are here to help you. Jesus Christ is ready to welcome you as we stand.